I don't need to tell you that wildfire is a big part of our life in the region, and perhaps even larger than usual this summer. We get used to the images of flames and of smoke, and the images of big planes sweeping in low, dropping loads of red fire retardant near the advancing flames. It's like watching the air support arrive to back up the troops on the ground. And when you think about it, that's really what it is. Two points emerge, though. One, fire retardant does not put fires out. It slows them down. Two, there are chemicals in that stuff, and people have concerns about those chemicals and their effects on the environment. The people concerned include the organization Forest Service Employees for Environmental Ethics, which has gone to court over the use of retardant. Andy Stahl is the executive director of that group and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Jeff.
So is running FC your full-time job now?
It is. It has been for 24 years.
Mm-hmm. And what did you do with the Forest Service before the organization existed?
For the Forest Service, I was a planner, helped the Forest Service write forest plans. And I've also worked as a lobbyist for the timber industry and for a couple of other environmental groups.
All right, so a lot of different fields of study here. Let's start with the basic stuff. When we talk about the fire retardant, what is in that red slurry?
It's mostly water. That's the biggest part of it. And then in addition to the water is fertilizer, ammonium phosphate. The red color is iron oxide, and it doesn't do anything to slow down fires. The red is just so that the pilot can see where the last line ended and the next line should start.
That's the only reason for it to be red, is just so it's more visible?
That's it.
Wow, and that's a rust, we're saying. I mean, if it's a iron oxide, there's rust, right?
That's right.
Okay, so what ultimately does the stuff do once it's on the ground?
Well, it prevents oxygen from getting to the fuel. And if you recall your fire triangle, there are three things necessary for a fire: oxygen, fuel, and heat. And when you coat the fuel with this fertilizer, the oxygen can't interact with the fuel. But it doesn't last for very long. It's most effective immediately after it's applied, and then it starts to lose its effectiveness over the next day or two.
So the idea of these planes bombing the fire out of existence is really not valid, is it?
No, retardant is not dumped on the fire at all. It's dumped in advance of the fire. When you see planes dumping water, that's dumped on the fire. And that's to cool the fire down. Water also rarely puts the fire out. About the only thing that can put a fire out is to encircle it with a line that has nothing burnable. So it's a line scratched down to mineral soil, and or a big winter storm. And so we often say as firefighters, it's the weather that put the fire out.
Not the firefighters. But, Andy, do you think there's a public relations value in retardant drops that goes beyond the use of the retardant as a fire tool?
Well, yes, and I'm going to expand on that by saying that there's really no evidence that retardant as a firefighter tool is actually effective at all. That is, there's no evidence that it changes the outcome of the wildfire. Similar to a cancer drug, when we study cancer drugs, we want to see that the tumor got smaller or the patient lived longer. And we compare cancer drugs to control patients who have the same cancer and don't receive the drug. That kind of study with retardant shows that there's no difference. Whether you use the retardant or not, you have the same fire outcomes. Some fires will go out easily on their own. The retardant didn't make any difference. Other fires, no matter what you do, the wind is so high, the drought is so deep, the fuel is so dry, that no amount of retardant, no amount of effort will stop the fire whatsoever, like the recent fire in Redding that burned down 1,000 houses. You can ask the question, if retardant was so effective, why did we lose 1,000 houses? If that's the measure of success, show me failure.
So, but does it do anything, you think, in terms of buying time for firefighters on the ground, though?
Retardant can buy firefighters time, in very small fuels, such as grasslands, because the retardant can coat the fuel effectively when it's a vertical height that's very short. In an old-growth forest, just the opposite, very, very deep forest, the retardant has a very difficult time getting through the canopy all the way to the ground. And unless it can coat the vegetation from top to bottom, the fire will have a way of getting through. So retardant doesn't work very well in forested canopies. It works better in rangeland grass environments.
We're talking about fire retardant with Andy Stahl, the Executive Director of Forest Service Employees for Environmental Ethics, which has gone to court to ask for further review of the use of retardant in wildfires. You can join the conversation on the Exchange, 800-838-3760 by phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. I imagine then, if you're saying that you don't think there's any evidence it's effective at all, that you do think retardant is overused at this point.
Well, it's vastly overused. It's used even in circumstances where it was never intended to be used. It was originally developed to fight fires in remote wilderness areas, to give the firefighters extra few hours to hike into the area. But now, most retardant isn't used in wilderness at all. It's used in fighting large fires that are windblown and that we can't do anything about. And so when we feel particularly impotent in fighting a fire, that's when we dump more retardant on it.
It sounds like you're saying retardant is really a feel-good maneuver.
I think everybody wants to know that the firefighters are using every tool in the toolkit and throwing everything they have against the fire. And people don't ask, but does it make a difference? So long as we approach fighting fire as a war, we will waste men and material.
Well, it certainly has its popularity, though. I mean, if you look at any of the go onto Twitter, for example, and use the hashtag for any particular fire, car fire, for example, and there are a lot of tweets about, you know, where's the super tanker? The super tanker could really help us out here. So these things have really grown in the public's estimation, haven't they?
They have. The super tanker in particular has been great at marketing itself, and which is good for the investors who bought it. They ended up with a pig and a poke and have made the best of it. That tanker was originally leased to a different company for a different purpose, and that company went out of business. And so the tanker came back to the original owners, and they looked around, what the heck do we do with a U 747? Oh, why don't we turn it into a retardant bomber? The fact that it flies way too high to drop retardant effectively, that it can't be used in mountainous terrain, and that it's incredibly expensive, didn't make any difference to them. They just knew that if we do good marketing, we can force governments to buy it.
Okay, I think we're clear on how you feel about the use of retardant in the first place. And then so let's talk about the effects on the ground. You talked about the fact that it prevents oxygen from getting to the fuel. It is mostly water, but ammonium fertilizer and rust for color. Are there other things in there that concern you?
No, those are the ingredients. It's pretty simple stuff. And it's the fertilizer from an environmental perspective that's the most concerning. When you drop ammonium phosphate into a stream, it kills all the fish for miles downstream. It's very toxic to fish. So we try to avoid doing that. And the rules are that you can't dump retardant within 300 feet of a waterway. The fact is, when you're fighting a fire and it's smoky and you're in mountainous terrain and you're going at well over 100 miles an hour, and you're pushing a button to start dumping and pushing another button to stop dumping, it's hard to keep the stuff where you want it. It can drift in the wind, so we do have accidents, and we do end up with retardant in water.
300 feet does seem pretty small from when you're pretty high up.
Exactly.
All right, so the Forest Service has looked at this before at your urging. I mean, FCE filed suit against the Forest Service in what, 2003 over retardant?
Yes, we had to file two suits. We won them both, and we did get some improvements in where and how we use this this toxic firefighting chemical.
Such as what?
Well, we ensured that no longer can you justify using fire retardant solely near water, solely to protect a property. There has to be human life at stake before you run the risk of dropping retardant into a creek. So we got a better balance between protecting our wilderness streams and say, a barn or a summer home. We also got land that is critical habitat for certain rare plant species off limits now to retardant use. These are places, and they're fairly common in the Calmeopsis area, down where many of your listeners are, where plants are adapted to live on very low nutrient soils. These are rare native plants. What retardant does is it fertilizes those soils and gives an advantage to competing weeds, to noxious invasive plants, which will outcompete the native plants in this newly enriched soil.
Why would it help the invasive species more than the natives?
Well, the invasive species are well adapted to using the fertilizer, and the native species are well adapted to living in environments where there is no nutrition.
Ah, because of the serpentine soils in the Calmeopsis, for example.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. These are very low quality, very high acidic soil. Is that what goes on in serpentine?
Well, now you've gone beyond my pay grade on geology.
Okay. Well, let's come to chemistry then too, because I noticed some of the other things involved in the retardant slurry. Things like guar gum, which people use for cooking as well as a food product thing. What is that, just for thickening?
Yes, that's for thickening, so it sticks to the vegetation and you get the right consistency.
And there's some anti-corrosion agents in there as well. Is that of concern to you?
Well, in a previous formulation of retardant, one of the anti-corrosion agents was a significant fish risk. That's now been removed from the new version of retardant, and there's no reason to think at this point in time that the anti-corrosion agent is an environmental risk. I'll tell you, one of the risks of retardant is to the firefighters themselves. The pilots are doing a very risky job. In fact, the most dangerous thing you can do as a firefighter is get into an aircraft and fight fire from the air. It's a lot more dangerous than fighting it from the ground in terms of fatality risk per hour spent fighting the fire. Also, don't get hit by the retardant if you're a firefighter on the ground. It can kill. It can knock down trees, which can kill firefighters, and it can knock you ass over tea kettle if you're on the ground. So this is not a risk-free venture by any means.
Andy Stahl, the group Forest Service Employees for Environmental Ethics, about the use of fire retardant. You can join us at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. You were saying?
Well, the Forest Service is now doing a study, has been for the last several years, to ask the key question, is fire retardant effective? That is, does it accomplish the goals of firefighting? And that's not a trivial question, because we're not even sure anymore what our goals in fighting fires are. We've now learned that if you simply put out every fire as small as possible, you're just putting off the inevitable bigger, more dangerous, more damaging fire in the future. So we actually want our forests to burn under the right conditions. They're going to burn anyway, no matter what. But if we can control the timing of that burning and the manner in which it burns, we'll have less smoke and we'll have less damage and less risk. So it's not a simple thing of just put out every fire as small as possible. We have much more complex management objectives. And the question is, does retardant help us reach those? And right now, we have no evidence that it does.
Is there a process underway? I know there was an environmental assessment, it looks like, from 2007 about the use of retardant. Is there another one in the works now or some other paperwork going on right now?
Right now, there is an administrative study. The Forest Service researchers have been asked to collect data about retardant use, essentially by putting GPS recorders on aircraft and recording where and when each dump is made, and then comparing that to the progression of the fire. If you think about it, there are three things that can happen with a retardant line in regard to the fire. The fire can stop before it gets to the line, in which case the retardant didn't affect the outcome. The fire can jump the line, in which case the retardant didn't affect the outcome. Or the fire can come right up to the line and stop there, in which case you can say, yes, the retardant was effective. It turns out most fire lines are in categories 1 and 2, and relatively few retardant lines actually stop the fire right where you wanted it to.
Now, I noticed that some earlier decisions ruled out some of the alternatives that had been proposed, and perhaps proposed by your organization, alternatives like using water only instead of slurry, and wider stream buffers instead of 300 feet, a quarter of a mile. Those are ruled out by the Forest Service, is that right?
Well, yes, although in practice, the Forest Service uses water across many national forests and uses no retardant at all. East of the Mississippi, retardant is rarely used. And on some national forests, it's simply never been used east of the Mississippi. Half the retardant used in the country used in one state alone, in California. So really, retardant is... It's an expensive firefighting tool used primarily in states and by agencies that have a whole lot more money than common sense when it comes to fighting fire. And California fits in that category. So they use a lot of retardant.
So you would like to see it phased out completely? Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, we want to see it used in situations in which it's proven to be effective. Right now, there are no such situations. But if the research shows that under these conditions, with these kinds of winds and these fuels we're dealing with, it works, then by all means, use it then. But until then, we think we're just throwing basically the world's most expensive water out of airplanes for no good cause.
Just a couple seconds left here, Andy Stahl. Is this a tough case to make, though, particularly after a fire season as rough and as smoky as the one we've been having?
It's a very tough case, and at the end of the day, the case will have to be made by the best science done by the Forest Service.
All right, we'll keep an eye on that as it develops. Andy Stahl is the Executive Director of Forest Service Employees for Environmental Ethics, heading up that organization for a couple of decades now, almost 25 years. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you, Jeff. Bye-bye.